Welcome to the Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I am not Lucy.
Oh, you're right. We'll just upload a computer virus into the mothership.
I was going to do my living room like this.
Buffer, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Hello, sunny and not thunderstormy anymore afternoon, and welcome to Gatecast episode 230, and we have a semi-recurrent guest.
Yes, I'm back.
Couldn't keep you away, could we?
No, not season 9 and 10. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we did have an inkling to record all three episodes that Thomas has done with us recently in one sitting, but they wouldn't have it.
It would have made for a long day.
Extremely.
So we finally made it to the final of season 9 of SG-1. Who'd have thought?
It's got a good teaser leading over to the next season, so I'm looking forward to it.
I almost got caught in a rather severe thunderstorm today. I left the apartment, it was hot and muggy and sort of, oh, it seems pleasant. But I'll just throw the emergency rain jacket and its pouch into the backpack anyway. And as I was walking back, I thought, it's got awfully dark all of a sudden. This being around 2 o'clock. If you see lightning flickering across the sky, maybe 5 kilometres behind me, I'm thinking, I should walk faster. And that's your finished weather report.
Mike was saying it was a pretty day out there too, so the kids are out and about.
Oh, yes. Why do kids feel it necessary? By the way, there have been times when I've wanted, especially if I've been studying, to find whoever has given a particular child a whistle and ram it down the throat.
Well, it's always the case. The sunny weather comes out, the kids decide the whole world is their personal playground. And you've got to have your windows open because it's just too warm not to. So there'll probably be screams and dogs barking.
That's very simple. You just put a wire with about 300 volts going through it, DC, around your garden, and you say, do not touch.
And anyway, turn back the clock, it was me making the noise, so.
Well played.
Having to go round a few next door neighbours, can we have our ball back, please? That ball hits my green ass, so you'll feel the back of my hand. Back in the days when you were allowed to hit other people's kids.
Without CPS coming on? Nowadays, you're not even allowed to hit your own kids. Are you?
So how good were the studies?
The exam today, he's restructured the course so that it's not 50% assignment, 50% exam. It's 70-30. And he adjusted the exam by simply dropping two of the questions from the exact same exam he gave August last year. I'm lucky I do my exams, thanks to my dyslexia, on a laptop in a conference room on my own, because I guffawed. It's the only way to describe it. It was definitely a guffaw. And did a double air fist pump. Because I was like, I've been looking at these questions all weekend. Anyhow.
Gives you a little time to relax and study up on some more fish.
And relearning programming.
What time to relax then?
Please just recharge so I can sort of drift along with. How about you two? Anything interesting or wild?
Not really.
Yeah, not much. Planning an evil campaign in D&D, that's it.
You are the GM from the Lord of the Rings one rather than the GM from the Star Wars one then?
I do the regular D&D and we're doing a evil campaign, so I actually get to play the good guys for once.
Oh, right. So dark mages and so on.
Yeah, my party so far has an assassin, an evil dragon rider, a true necromancer. We were possibly going to have, and I think we still might have, a evil paladin. I'm going to try to get another one to play an evil ranger. And then I think we're going to have an evil warlock, so it's going to be nasty.
To quote Mr. Pratchett, it's post-mortem communications. You know? Although, if you look closely at the door, you can see the word necromancer scratched out.
In the heart of the Midwest, a mystery is brewing.
I want you to explain to me why a federal agency would issue a report for a boy who died 32 years ago.
In the heart of a family, faith is being tested. In the heart of the listeners, questions will rise.
Did I die? Did we all die?
Noodle Mix Network, in partnership with MediaVoiceovers.com, proudly present the one podcast that will get to the heart of what it truly means to be alive. Join Wayne Henderson and Troy Heinrichs for Resurrection Revealed, Watch ABC's Resurrection, then subscribe to get to the heart of each episode. Follow on Twitter at ResurrectionPod and listen all season at ResurrectionRevealed.com.
That's the promo for the podcast Resurrection Revealed. It covers the ABC drama Resurrection. I've only just got around to watching it. It's only 8 episodes. Loved it. And I've listened to the podcast. So looking forward to the second season. Highly recommend the series and the podcast.
Having reached the end of Mass Effect 1, having taken every single side mission to gain as much experience as possible.
Well, that's good.
I realised that the Infiltrator class is too wimp-ass to actually beat the final boss. So I'm restarting from the beginning as Soldier.
Infiltrator has which powers again?
Symbiotics, super high on Sniper, and Stealth. Really, what you need to beat the final boss is pure raw power.
I think I went Infiltrator, and I still was able to beat Zarin, or whatever his name was, Garen.
Zarin. I tried. I really did. And I still have the save game there. But that was 50 hours of play. I didn't have the right team members.
I'm in the middle of playing Fallout 3 New Vegas.
You know how hard it is to get an optical mouse to run on a white surface?
Well, find a black surface.
I don't have any, apart from my leg.
You don't have a real mouse pad?
Ah, crap, I tweeted the wrong episode title.
Yes, you did.
I thought it was Alloys we were doing.
No, we've already done that one.
Good.
So was the loud thump there on the space bar?
No, it was the glass hitting a plate.
Well, either you or Michael's typing there, and there's a loud thump periodically, and it sounded like it must have been the face bar.
Well, only Alan treats the keyboard as his own personal nemesis when he's typing.
There, fixed.
I've already posted, so you've posted again, have you?
Yes, but I slide myself off.
Come try ya!
Shall we kick off?
Can do, if we're all ready.
Yep.
In honor of my final stray, two et clicky.
Previously on Stargate SG-1.
Welcome.
Arthur.
No.
Or rather.
Marilyn.
Sorry, Marilyn. That too.
Yes, me carrying this child right now is a problem, a big problem.
Nice pregnant Vala.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they look like ants from up here.
The ships are planning to leave. Somewhere out there, the Ori have a working supergate.
They probably were.
That's always a problem with the finale. They've got to try to bring all these separate storylines in together, and the previous loop tends to get a little bit convoluted.
And catch everybody up who's missed everything. Anyone else in this space has already devoted themselves to finding the
supergate. Go.
Hey, has anyone stopped to think how this thing might possibly work?
And here we go then. They're in a small industrial park. This little piece of grassland is smack bang in the middle. They've had a bunch of trees that are carefully hiding the warehouse on the right-hand side of the screen. As they pointed out, if you had a slightly wider viewing angle, you'd see a bunch of houses and power lines on the left-hand side.
Mm. See, ascended beings transcend ordinary space-time as we know it. This device would have to do the same thing.
Does it?
Yes, it does.
In other words, you have no idea what it might be. Yeah, pretty much that's it.
Oh, this looks promising.
See, you didn't see the warehouse. You just saw the corner of the warehouse.
Mm-hmm. Nice matte painting.
Yes, the wall was real, because this is the set used for a show called Young Blades.
I see.
Very muddy.
Yeah, especially watered down. As they pointed out in the commentary, it's not as if Stargate even got enough village sets, they had to find another one. You can't fake real sunshine, real light.
I wouldn't get too excited just yet, there could be dozens of villages in the area.
Yeah, that's probably a hint.
No way to know for sure this is the right one. Well, there's that.
As they pointed out, that was a real horse as well. A sword in the stone. Looks remarkably like the one in Glastonbury. I think they're in the right place.
Travelers.
And look who it is.
I am Urich, governor of this village.
Happy Jesus. Noble.
Welcome to Camelot.
The woman on his left, contest winner.
How often do I recognise an actor?
Couldn't have named if I'd tried. I'm horrible with names, though.
So am I.
Well, it depends if you've watched Fringe or Lord of the Rings recently. I mean, John Noble is a rather familiar face.
Well, I'll recognise the face, but not the name.
Okay.
Well, I'd call him Peter, so...
Right then, Camelot, Season 9, Episode 20, the finale. Gatecast episode 230. The episode was written by Paul Mully and Joseph Malozzi, and directed by Martin Wood. At its US premiere, March 10th, 2006, we got it March the 14th, Canadians March the 23rd. Our friends in France got it July the 15th, and Japan June the 25th, 2007, and the Swedes got it October the 31st, 2007. The writers, Paul Mully and Joseph Malozzi, they wrote 12 episodes of Universe, 15 of Atlantis, and 38 of SG-1. They also produced 20 of Universe, 50 of SG-1, and 80 of Atlantis. A few series with episodes of the same name, Made in Jersey, The Goodies, The Lost World, Ancient Mysteries, and Live from Lincoln Center.
This is Antonius, our village historian.
Welcome to Camelot, past and future home of King Arthur and his Round Table.
A nice tavern set. Antonius, played by David Thompson. The scene was originally about twice the length. The episode ended up running about 11 minutes long, so they had to get the scissors out to it.
Oh, dear.
Arthur defeated Mordred at the Battle of Camlann, after which he and his fellow knights set off to find the Sangreal.
That's the Holy Grail.
That was long ago, but we know in our hearts that one day he will return to us.
Nothing wrong with a bit of faith.
Oh, not the right question, obviously.
Yes, awkward. Don't forget to pay your bill and tip your waitress.
I have matters to attend to. Best I take my leave now. Enjoy your stables.
Did I offend him?
Not at all. It's just that Merlin's name is rarely mentioned in public.
Why is that?
Many believe he was a wizard of darkness. He may have tried to do good, but there was always potential for great mischief in his heart.
Oh, why? What did he do? Sounds a bit like Dr. Lee. He always intends well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or was it Felger also that intended well?
Yeah, every SGC scientist except Sam.
It was his private sanctuary here in Camelot.
Ah, piqued their interest?
We'd like to see that.
Take us to it.
I'm afraid that's impossible. The library is protected by a powerful curse. It is said that all those who enter Merlin's sanctuary forfeit their lives to its guardian, the Black Knight.
Of course it is.
Primitive fool.
None shall pass.
But if I do recall, in Monty Python, the Black Knight was able to survive with his limbs chopped off.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's just a flesh wound.
He's got another holographic knight protecting his goods like he did back in England. Either way, I don't see a big problem.
That's it, Cameron.
What?
No worries.
Given your narrow victory over the knight in the Avalon cave, it would seem that your overconfidence is ill-advised.
Well said.
Yeah, always the voice of reason.
I think they did a bit of work with the audio, because you're not hearing the boots squelching much, are you?
No.
Indeed not.
Which means it could be a lot tougher, and the same rules might not apply.
I think we should split up and look around.
Indeed.
I mean, Tyrk almost coincided on indeed there.
That's him. Take his head. That's what little brothers are for. You may recognise the woman playing Valencia, Catherine Isabel. She was in the Goosebumps episode that we covered as a bonus episode over Christmas.
Mm.
Also been in Hannibal, Being Human, Psych, Endgame, and way back when in MacGyver.
Here, let me show you something.
Yeah, he's mentioned the soda.
Yes.
Try not to bob around quite so much.
She's a bit young for you, mate.
Nice.
She actually looks more competent than Cameron did when he first picked up the sword under Glastonbury.
Where did you learn to fight?
Broomstick battles with my kid brother and the Sodan ritual of Kelshak Low made me the nimble warrior that I am today. So, do either one of you know where we can find Merlin's,
library.
Merlin's library.
That's it. Exploit the kids. Why not offer them a bit of candy while you're at it?
Never talk to strangers. Never talk to strangers.
Stranger danger. Stranger danger. Remember that episode of Outnumbered?
Yes, because we've tried. We are kids after all.
This is it.
A rather unimpressive doorway.
The door is magic.
I dare you to touch the door. I dare you.
Of course it is.
There is a key. No one dare use it.
Where will we find this key?
Just kept in the village archives.
Come on, Daniel. You gotta do the investigating. You gotta keep asking people.
No. Absolutely not.
Antonius.
I will not be party to your deaths.
I have an onion. You may notice that it's raining in the scene, as you can tell by Daniel's hair.
Yeah, no harder moves today.
Oh, we haven't seen that in seasons.
I'm sure there's a bottle's laying somewhere.
As I said, with the television production, you really can't hang around and wait for it to stop raining. You've just got to keep going.
We acquired the treasures he had hidden away in our world. One of those treasures led us here, to Camelot.
And that was one of the reasons they watered down all the soil in the village. It was a much safer bet to assume at some point it'd rain.
In Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
No one must know of my participation in this venture.
Got it.
Not Murek, not my fellow villagers, and most importantly, not my wife Livia, who believes I am reviewing council minutes with Brother Abelard tonight.
We were never here.
And they put in the lightning effect just to kind of, you know, reinforce the idea that it's stormy weather.
And to make it a little more nervous for them breaking into the place that's guarded.
Which is more atmospheric, isn't it? Thunder rolling in the background. You seem strangely confident. Look at that, a magic door. As I said in the commentary, one of the effects guys inside pulling it open.
That's magical enough for me.
Yeah.
Spiders.
Spiders.
Yeah, it's been how long since somebody's been in here?
Quite a while by the looks on it. If you keep your eyes open, you will notice the body of the last person that came in here.
I'm sure Sam will notice it.
Well, I tell you, in medieval days, being a candle maker was good business.
Yeah.
You could have a sideline then, honey.
Yeah, probably did.
Yep, this could take a while.
Absolutely no pressure, Daniel. It's not as if there's an Ori invasion fleet on the way.
This is interesting. This is a reference to Merlin's prophetic abilities. There's a similar myth on Earth that Merlin could see the future because he actually aged backwards in time. It's not meant to be taken literally, but we have seen that a lot of legends and folklore have a strong basis. In fact, Avalon, Atlantis.
The Easter Bunny.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
I guess there's a few exceptions.
Don't ruin it. Till really looks forward to looking for his Easter eggs.
Well, I hate to break it to you folks, but the only technology I'm seeing is a bunch of dusty old books.
Oh.
The right book opens up a secret door.
And a secret passage.
Not very secret, is it?
Let's just walk right through. It wouldn't be booby-trapped, would it?
Heaven forbid.
All right, there's another chamber.
We should not go in there. We've tempted fate enough for one night.
Well, you can stay up here if you want.
No. I shall take my leave.
Yes.
He could have done that before ever walking in.
That's what I probably would have done. And he was carrying a book from the library as well, so... Now, this effect, he wanted to emulate the scene from Avalon, where all the torches lit up.
Good effect.
Took a bit of doing, because they weren't exactly lighting in the proper timing sequence.
So, natural gas?
You'd imagine so. Let there be light.
Yeah.
So I wonder, is there a ZPM here or something else?
No, it's an ancient control device.
What does it control?
I have no idea.
It's unlikely it's a ZPM because we've only really seen them in Pegasus. The commentary track for this episode is the Martin Wood, the director, and Amanda Tapping.
Ooh.
Of course, he's carrying the book. So doesn't that beg the question that the Black Knight comes for somebody who takes something from the chamber?
This could be the beginning of a cheapest chip slasher movie.
Livia?
Although, come to think of it, this wouldn't be an old guy. It'd be some co-ed in a short skirt.
Oh, dear.
Clank, clank, clank.
Mm-hmm. Nick Harrison is playing the Black Knight. He also played the Knight in Avalon.
Activating it is a matter of correctly interpreting these symbols.
I'll give him that. His dreams carry. poor Antonius. We knew him not well.
We have now.
Oh, I've got the feeling there's going to be trouble now. Especially when John Noble turns up.
He's dead.
Thank you. For obvious.
Well, he could be sleeping. He could be all squawked out.
How do you explain this?
Well, you see, what had happened was...
His wife did it. Come on, we all know she warned him. Bring one more book back and you'll get it.
He was killed.
York, we're very sorry about what happened.
You went into the wizard's library, didn't you?
We're all doomed.
Look, it wasn't supposed to go down like that. We figured if the knight was going to appear, it would be in the chamber and he wouldn't go after anybody but us.
You were warned of the danger and you refused to believe.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You tell him.
Black Knight is not part of any curse. He isn't magical and he isn't unbeatable.
Your world, as well as countless others, are in danger of being overrun by an enemy far more powerful than you could ever imagine. They are called the Ori, and they will destroy anyone who does not kneel before them.
We learned that a long time ago Merlin was working on a weapon that could be used against them, and the key to finding that weapon is inside that library.
We have never seen nor heard of these Ori, but we have witnessed the power of the Black Knight.
Why don't they just play into their mythology? Probably could get their cooperation if they phrased it right. You know, Mordred is coming back. He's raised an army. We need knowledge from Merlin's books.
Well, we can't just give up.
Yeah, we can.
Yes.
Giving up is an excellent idea.
Let's just ignore the problem.
I'm in favour of giving up.
I don't think it's going to work that way.
Indeed not.
I mean, if it just killed whoever was inside the chamber, then there'd be no great public incentive to keep people out.
Exactly.
Foolish enough to give it a try.
Yeah, someone like us.
But the point is, he designed it that way because he was worried that someone might stumble onto the solution, which means there is a solution and it's inside that chamber.
Just ignore him. You have the guns.
So shall we just go push buttons in the chamber?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. Just give me a little time to talk to these people. If I can get some of them on our side, we might be able to get Merrick to reconsider.
Pull the sword out. That'll prove your worth. Done it before, haven't you? Although you had to solve those puzzles.
Is that a bear skin hung up in the background? It certainly looks like it.
Only he who is pure of heart and true of spirit can pull the sword from the stone.
It's always the case, isn't it?
It is said Arthur will not return from his quest until one among us succeeds in removing it.
You ever try it?
Of course not.
Doesn't matter if I'm better than them. I'm a woman.
As my brother Ramus will do when he comes of age.
Yeah, but I've seen you spar. You got skills.
I only do that to help Ramus train.
Equal rights.
Yes.
Men of this village will be ready to serve him.
And you're not interested in that.
Valencian, leave us.
Yes, Governor.
You abuse my tolerant nature, Colonel.
Daniel, what'd you do now?
I take it didn't go so well.
Not really. These men will escort you to the Great Ring and ensure that you leave as requested.
Look, you're making a mistake.
And this is the problem Martin had with this scene. He had to get everybody in exactly the right position for the CGI effect.
No magic at all.
Well, that does seem like magic.
No, it's not magic at all. Filmed the Odyssey scenes before this. You could have radioed first. Seriously, SG1. You know, beaming as that, we could have been doing anything. And they're getting mud all over his nice shiny decks.
That's what bosuns are for.
We received a subspace transmission from a Jaffa vessel near P3Y-229. They were investigating some unusual energy readings. This is what they found. And we enhance the image.
Oh, yay.
A fully formed supergate.
Well, they have been looking for them, but as I said, it's a big galaxy.
My orders were to pick you up and proceed immediately to the Supergate. Unfortunately, the Daedalus is still in the Pegasus Galaxy, but the Korolev will be joining us as soon as possible.
I didn't think it was operational yet.
It's been rushed into service. We're to meet up with as many Jaffa and Tok'ra ships as we can muster and destroy that thing by whatever means necessary.
They suddenly have an awful lot of ships, don't they?
The Russians have rushed it into service.
Oh dear, it's a Russian ship. Well, we know what's going to happen to that.
They're going to start sending ships through.
Let me guess, within minutes of you getting there, we know how this worked.
I believe the key to defeating the Ori is on that planet. I know it.
Daniel, even if you're right, the villagers are never going to let you back in the library.
Then beam me in.
Scotty, hang on a minute. He's not the man in charge.
Indeed he is not.
I'll go with Jackson. A little quality time.
They're all colonels.
Colonel.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Somebody's done a lot of cleaning in that place.
So what now?
Well, all indications are the Black Knight was activated the second I stepped onto that platform, so my guess is we can shut him down by...
See, there's a skeleton.
Panel.
Merlin's pen number?
Yeah, something like that.
There's the last person that... And there's another one.
Ah, pen number.
Pardon?
Personal bugbear. It's personal identity number, so what he just said was personal identity number.
Oh, right. You mean like Stargate SG-1?
Mm.
So this, I'm off. I've risked enough for you lot.
It's never good when you split the party in D&D, so how can it be that good in SG-1?
Now, you're a GM. You're the only one that doesn't think splitting the party is a good idea because it's a headache for you.
True.
The last gaming con I was at, we split the party into four pieces. It's really pissed them off.
Martin gave a bit of praise to Jim Menard for the lighting on the Odyssey, and also Will Waring for the crystal ball. He's got a knack for placing objects in the scene that really stick out.
Tilk taught me the fundamentals.
Did he mention you should remain conscious in the process?
Yeah, I'm still working on the basics. So.
Okay, we're going to try again. Once again, what could go wrong?
Cross-referenced half a dozen passages that mention the Black Knight. Now, there's a series of recurring words and phrases that stand out if you... know what you're looking for.
Are we talking access code?
I think so.
That candle through the crystal ball is strangely hypnotic. It really is a nice piece of filmmaking. Behold, we have returned.
What's the matter?
Well, if I'm wrong about this, then...
No, look, I'll take care of the Black Knight.
Yeah, how are you going to do that again?
I will pull the sword from the stone, just like last time.
You'd have thought he'd have tried to pull the sword straight away.
You see, in the Avalon Cave, it was pulling the sword from the stone that caused the knight to appear in the first place. Here, we don't even know if they're connected.
We know Merlin put the sword there, right?
Probably.
Which means it's no ordinary sword, and that's good enough for me. Besides, do we have a choice?
No.
Of course not.
Hello, he's shiny.
Okay, no screams. Going well so far. I've got to say, it's been quite a while since we've seen Daniel looking quite so perplexed with any piece of ancient technology. They've written him to be pretty much all-knowing, given a few minutes having a look in a book.
Yeah, just leave your gun here. It won't do any good.
Still the most unusual piece of ancient technology, that is.
Uh-oh.
What?
Nothing happened.
Well, that could be good or bad.
Oh, screams.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
Make it work!
Okay.
No pressure.
Yeah, there's only approximately, what, there's about 12 stones?
Funny, I actually thought it was night time by the looks of that chamber.
It's always night time in that chamber.
Well, it was daytime whenever they beamed up, so...
Yep, didn't think so.
Thankfully, Cameron didn't kill anybody behind the night.
That's why he set everybody down.
Yeah, but they don't know about projectile weapons. Ooh.
That's gotta hurt.
Now, Dan Shea's doing the stunt coordination for this work, but it was Bam Bam who did the leap and jump.
Bam Bam.
As you can see, this is why they watered down all the soil, because he knew he was going to throw him into the mud.
And of course, the regular sword does not work.
Do something! Help him!
He brought this on himself.
He needs a weapon.
So this is evil, John Noble. This is Mirror Universe, John Noble.
He's not evil. He's old enough probably to have seen the Black Knight kill other people.
What do you think you're doing?
That's it. Pure of heart and intent. Yay. Now, I think she should have fought the Black Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Cameron does have better skills.
He's got skills with a Z.
And he has gotten better since meeting the Sodan, so...
Oh! Casual backhand. Okay, that seems to have done something.
Yeah, unfortunately, the fighting scene had to be cut down again, so we missed out Cameron destroying the fruit stand.
Greetings, friend. I am Merlin.
Yes, you are.
The prize you seek, like the pendulum swing, marks the passage of all that is before you.
Riddles again. They can't help themselves, can they?
Of course not.
Martin in the commentary said he was disappointed when he filmed the fight scene. He used a camera trick to get a certain effect. Unfortunately, he used it too much and he wasn't very happy with the results.
No way he tried all the combinations.
Okay, I've been waiting to hear this speech for so long now, I'm fed up of it.
Mitchell! Greetings, friend. I am Merlin.
I don't know, you get a lot of chances when fighting these knights, don't you, with the holographic weapons?
Mm.
Either that or the bit of sadistic.
Yeah.
Swing marks the passage of all that is before you. Greetings, friend.
Oh, squid.
Damn!
Oh, no.
Oh, don't do that.
You could just pull one of the crystals, surely. Huzzah!
Magic.
Again. Father, I want to marry that one. No, not him, that one on the floor.
Oh, my pet floor.
So, is this the start of equal rights?
The beginning of the end, some of the men think. Oh, here we go. Have they got any company?
Big weapon will snap that bit off.
Ah.
Huh. Some company.
Yes.
Just a little.
Sir, we're receiving a transmission from one of the Jaffa ships. Put it on screen.
I am Shirah of the Free Jaffa. It was my ship that discovered the gate.
I understand there's been no other signs of activity.
Oh, Shirah. Noah Danby. This, without giving away too much, might be the last time we see him in the show. Of course, he's been in Bitten and Defiance and Lost Girl.
It's been any good.
It's not bad, you know. A bit more mature look at the werewolf mythology.
There was no vampire diary, is there?
No, a lot more adult.
Oh, thank Christ.
We didn't do that in the first place.
Well, because I had to find the access code first. If I hadn't, none of this would have beamed in, and I wouldn't have seen Merlin's hologram message.
Right, what did he say?
Cameron is looking a little bit worse for wear.
And probably a little battered and bruised.
Yeah.
You see, this pendant... Now, in every depiction of Merlin from his library, I've seen it. And, in fact, the hologram messenger was wearing it as well. But I've never seen it before.
Like I say, this scene, again, was filmed before the fight scene. And since they weren't sure about the weather, again, it was probably better to wear on the side of the fact that he would look a bit messy.
Then I realized it was more literal. Something that hangs. It also said it was right before my eyes.
Looking a bit smug, Daniel.
I don't know. Did that seem a little small?
Just remember, we're talking about things that transcend ordinary space-time here. Relative size has no meaning.
Yes, Cameron. Not everything has to be big to be effective.
Fine, let's start looking.
Not like the weapon on Dakara. It
isn't everything.
Occasionally, the ancients went small because of big.
Hey, the Asgard.
This is Colonel Emerson of the Earth Vessel Odyssey.
Yes, I know who you are.
Behold my magnificence.
Colonel Carter.
Hey, it's not Hemorrhoid.
No.
I like Hemorrhoid.
Daniel and Colonel Mitchell are still looking for the ancient device I was telling you about in our communique. And Teal'c...
Well, he's gone somewhere.
Well, we're not exactly sure where Teal'c is.
Yeah.
He could have told him. There was no reason to tell him not hide the fact he's gone to the Lucian Alliance asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, Eric Steinberg is playing Natan. Does a rather... passable bad guy.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Makes a pretty good little bad guy.
Flying into our territory in an unmarked cargo ship. I didn't think you were that stupid. I have allowed myself to be captured knowing that I would be brought before you. Really? I have come to seek the assistance of the Lucian Alliance.
I take it back. You're not stupid.
You're insane. Kill him.
That's easy to claim after you've been captured, Tilt.
The word I would have used, too.
It's nice, though, when you get a bad guy that's decisive. You know, just kill him, be done with it.
I should kill you where you stand.
Another will take my place. I will rise up more powerful than before.
I have come seeking your assistance. The fate of the Galaxy is at stake.
Again, no pressure.
We have been analyzing the information that Daniel Jackson was able to retrieve from Merlin's phase-shifting device.
Unfortunately, he didn't get very far before it permanently ran out of power.
There was enough data for us to surmise what this so-called anti-Ori weapon might be.
Really?
The reason Amanda is sitting down is that she was very poorly while filming this episode. And as the episode went on, she got worse and worse and worse. So literally, she had to sit down. She was throwing up in her trailer and all sorts.
Well, I guess all actors have their off days.
Yep. Even the hand shots there, that's her body double.
And this energy is harmful to them in some way.
It is a form of interference.
Effective if you're dealing with the beings that are pure energy.
Yeah.
If the weapon indeed works the way Merlin's writings imply, we would simply need to activate it and send it to the Ori Galaxy. And they would be eliminated.
Yeah, but how do we do that? I mean, we don't even know where the Ori Galaxy is, let alone have the ability to send something there.
Come on, Sam, keep up.
You have a super gate.
Yes, it goes both ways. You don't really need to know exactly where it is if you've got a wormhole.
Precisely.
That might actually work.
Of course, we will need Merlin's weapon.
Now, would you not need the coordinates to dial out? Or does it have an auto-dial sequence?
Well, if you look at it...
There's probably a redial one.
Yeah, you know, the elements that make up the gate don't have any symbols on.
Well, we've been through this stuff twice. It's not here.
It's got to be here! Look... I once lost my car keys in my apartment for 3 days.
That was Ben's own ad-lib. As Martin pointed out, all the coins in the treasure room are chocolate.
No.
And everything else is just coloured gold light and lots of gold lamé cloth.
It's incredible.
Yeah. It's all yours.
You do not wish to claim a prize for defeating Merlin's champion?
Well, there was one thing...
Well, your daughter, she was a couple of years older, but... This is what we want.
You've known where it is the entire time, right?
Yes. Why didn't you say so? We've got this here.
Do you recognize this?
It looks like Aunt Edna's brooch.
It is the Sangreal.
This is the Sangreal.
Slow down, Daniel, please. He's getting into the swing of things now.
Blood red for the color of the jewel.
Wait a minute. We're talking about the Holy Grail, right? Every movie I've seen, that's a cup.
Yeah. Every fictional movie, Cameron.
Particularly the one used by Christ at the Last Supper was a late addition to the myth. See, earlier accounts describe variously as a dish or platter, or in the case of von Eschenbach and other Middle Eastern-influenced chroniclers, as a stone that fell from the heavens.
If this is what you seek...
Of course, everything was.
...found it among these trinkets.
Trinkets. I like that. Yeah. Although I suppose this treasure really doesn't have that much value to them. A couple of sacks of seed, now that's a different matter.
It is said that they journeyed to 3 distant lands mentioned in Merlin's prophecy. Castiana, Sahal, and Vagombre.
And John Noble actually went to the writers and directors saying, how do you pronounce these words? They even rang Rob Z. Cooper up and he says, however John Noble wants to say it, it's fine by me.
We'll just write him into the code from there on.
Yep.
Searching for Arthur's whereabouts in this library is not necessary. Now, thanks to Valencia, we've been given a sign that Arthur will return soon, and you are welcome to stay with us and wait as the men...
Yeah.
Well, any other time we would.
Once and for all, there was no curse.
Stop it, Daniel. Okay,
this is a device. It's a machine. It's like a flour mill or a catapult. It's just a lot more complicated. There is no magic.
And there they go again.
Every time, no magic, boom.
Yeah.
Boy, my timing's off today.
Colonel Mitchell, Dr. Jackson, welcome aboard the Korolev.
Hey!
He's got himself a toy.
Yeah, and a command chair.
That's why he really pushed for, you know, something else, so he could get his own ship.
Oh, yeah, he played the Chinese and the Americans against each other.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody worked for hours on that little animation.
Well, they do. The playback people in this series, they do an awful lot of work.
It's just a matter of somebody getting out there and installing it.
And I suppose you'd like to volunteer.
Yes, sir.
I would go, but you do not have a spacesuit that would fit me.
And you don't have
like
one on your...
You can't generate a control field or something?
You would have thought the Asgard, you know, there is an Asgard ship there. At some point, they must go on an EVA.
Well, it's possible that with the power generated by the Singularity, we can maintain this connection indefinitely.
My idea, really, he's thinking. Again, poor Amanda. Feels terrible, locking herself in a spacesuit. Not good.
Stick a nebulizer in there, you know.
The guy on the left, in the green overalls, is Bruce Woloshin. He works for Rainmaker Studios. He's been doing the Stargate puddles pretty much from day one.
The coordinates are set. Are you ready, Colonel Carter?
Ready as I'll ever be.
My God, that's Kirk light on him.
Wonderful lighting for when you're sick.
Initiating transport.
Oh, hope you don't suffer from vertigo.
Who?
Now, I got a definite 2001 vibe. The music and the big obelisk type.
Then it looks rather ancient.
Engaging magnetic lock.
And it's magnetic. Okay, I'll go with that, but surprising. You'd think it was some sort of advanced polymer.
Well, this can't dip, obviously.
And who actually makes these things? For it to have a control panel like that?
I'm removing the panel now.
Look, crystals. Base garbage.
And they're very similar to Atlantean crystals.
They are indeed, aren't they? Yeah.
And Asgard. So, do they all use the same technology?
Maybe, yeah. Well, you think the Ori went so far in practical technology, and after they ascended, it kind of stabilized. And even though they don't let their own followers use it, it's still the best they've got.
It'll just take a few minutes to initialize.
Sir, we're picking up increased energy output coming from the gate.
Hey, oh, this ain't good.
Something's happening. I've lost my magnetic lock.
It's an incoming wormhole.
Oh, no.
Of course you have.
It's not working. There's too much interference. Sam, report.
Don't jiggle her about too much. She's delicate. Sam, it's a bit informal, isn't it? Oh, that's... Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's a proper kawush, that is.
It is, isn't it? Look at that.
Big kawush.
That's it. You could surf that ripple.
Oh, my God.
And that, I believe, was done by their own in-house effects department.
Well, they've had a kawush for a long time recorded. Maybe large-scale it?
Uh-oh.
Hey, the Korolev's here.
Sir, the Korolev just dropped out of hyperspace.
This is Colonel Chekov. What is the situation?
We've got an incoming wormhole. I suggest you prepare for battle.
Боевая готовность.
Боевая готовность. Активизировать 77 отсек.
Hello, Colonel Chekov. Goodbye, Colonel Chekov.
They were complaining about the Odyssey not having its proper trials. This ship has just come off shipyard.
Oh, that's a big ship.
That is a big ship, yes.
They keep coming.
And again, why aren't they hanging behind the gate? They could open up on them right now.
Okay, close encounter.
Yes.
Mm. You know, you'd think, given this huge... It's a very poor structural design. You know, if you could hit the narrowest bit, it's probably all they need.
Again, shielding technology. They've already seen that nothing the Earth have got touched their shields.
Sir, we're receiving a message from one of the Ori ships. Text only.
What does it say?
And those who are prideful and refuse to bow down shall be laid low and made unto dust.
Text only?
You don't need that from an enemy. Seriously. Surrender or die. That works just as well.
Open the chat.
Then did Tyalus say to the people of the low plains, seek not wickedness amongst your neighbors, lest it find purchase in your own house.
Writing rhetoric?
Probably not.
What was that? Book of Origin. Think it'll help?
They're powering up their weapons. Here we go. All batteries, open fire.
missiles never work, guys. Why do you use them?
One of the extras on the Korolev actually pointed out that the commander would never just give his orders. It would always be repeated. And since he spoke Russian, Martin Wood says, right then, you're an actor. Probably a pay upgrade and everything.
Hey, I'm surprised. At least it didn't immediately explode.
Yeah, like the Asgard.
Some of these scenes were filmed by Andy Makita and others by Martin Wood, making full use of the second unit.
Shields down to 50%.
Get out of the way.
They're incredibly manoeuvrable, you know, considering how big they are, but you're not going to dodge those sort of weapons.
Sir, we just lost sublight engines.
So the fast ships blow up in one shot, but ours take two, maybe three?
Asgard shields are far superior to the old shields. We know that. That's why the Prometheus won it so many battles. Unfortunately, the Aurai shields are even better.
We have to scramble the 302.
No, they'll have no effect against that.
Hey, we're getting our asses kicked. It's time to go all in. I'll drive the fire while you get the ship back online.
Oh, it's a nice ship while I have it.
It's no good, sir. We're dead in the water.
That's not a good place to be.
Sir, picking up approaching ships.
Oh, reinforcements. Yes.
They're not going to do much good.
Apologies for my late arrival.
Better late than never.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Give them everything we got.
Don't you dare blow up that ship. Don't you dare.
That's one of the new class of Asgard ships.
Yeah, the O'Neill class. Oh, there goes another one. Jesus. Again, Marty Wood a little upset about this shot. All the sparks following the camera around. It looked a bit too fake. Oh, this isn't good because we've gone slow motion.
Mm.
Ooh, that's gonna hurt. He fell right into that beam.
Mm-hmm. Cracked ribs, at least.
Oh, Chekhov, you brave fool, you.
It's like that episode of CSI New York where one of the actors has a relationship with his neighbour. He's been drifted in and out for a couple of episodes. He just got a new bike and there was a slow-mo beauty shot of him wheeling the bike away and I thought, he's dead.
Oh dear. Two hits and there she goes.
Sam can do nothing.
I remember when I first watched this on TV wondering which ship was that, because there's nothing to indicate if it were the Korolev or the Odyssey. Oh, nice. Everything goes quiet.
I mean, Tom.
That's one hell of a view. I'll give it that. You know, that's...
Mm-hmm. Better than the view on the Death Star too.
This can't be good.
Where is it really be?
Twitch. Me water's broke. That's probably one of the easiest things Claudia Black ever filmed on. I think a full day's pay for that.
Just a few facial expressions.
I just picked up the PS3 remote to hit stop.
Right.
The one that you kindly sent me.
Good. That was Camelot. Where else could you see 1 minute a sword battle and the next minute a full-on space battle in one episode?
It's pretty impressive about that.
Again, in the commentary, they pointed out they weren't exactly sure should they wrap up the season or, you know, leave it open-ended, and decided when they filmed it, the season 10 hadn't been given the green light, so they went for it. They'd filmed this as if they'd got a season 10, and as we know, it paid off.
Mm-hmm. Good cliffhanger.
Yeah, but imagine if it ended there, you know. We wouldn't know if Daniel or Cameron were dead, if Tilk was dead. Sam, she's just floating around all by herself.
Well, then at that time, I'd definitely be present for one of the after-season movies like we got. We got to know what happened.
Well, that's it. I think we knew they were ready to go with the movie from season 6 onward.
On the subject of the end of it all and cancellations, I was looking at the list of cancels and renewals and I'm thinking, Almost Human gets cancelled and Beauty and the Beast gets renewed?
Beauty and the Beast keeps making and has a much stronger demographic for women. It's input cost versus viewers. Input and output.
Aside from Defiance, Almost Human won the true proper sci-fi shows out there.
Quite a lot of channels are making noise about doing proper sci-fi again. Who knows? We can hope.
Yeah, maybe we can get another Stargate series back on. That'd be good sci-fi.
We got, I think, what would you say, Mike, 2.5 years yet?
Yeah, we did the math. I'm not doing it again.
Come try ya!
Director Martin Wood, he directed 29 of Atlantis and 47 of SG-1, and also worked on Andromeda, Sanctuary, Primeval New World, Cedar Cove, Arctic Air, and a bit further back, Jeremiah and Earth Final Conflict.
In a recent interview with JMS, he said the second season of Jeremiah was just horrible and terrible to behold.
Well, it kind of stepped away from the mythology it built up, didn't it, to a more action-orientated series.
I have season two, I haven't watched it.
But you've never seen season two?
No, I'm not sure I saw the end of season one, actually.
I watched it when it was on Sky, way back when.
Came out on DVD, so I bought it.
The power and the greatness of the Ori cannot be denied. Those who reject the path to enlightenment must be destroyed. Hallowed are the Ori.
The Gould are the ultimate posers in the galaxy. They stumbled upon all this technology that was left behind by the ancients and assumed control of it and told everybody it was theirs and then forced people to worship them as gods. The Ori, on the other hand, I mean, they're ascended beings. For all intents and purposes, they do have extremely advanced godlike powers that the Gould don't. They can lift people in the air, they can heal people that are sick. The powers that they pass on to the Priors, they can demonstrate them. The Ori are actually a lot tougher villain to fight, because how do you fight an all-powerful ascended being?
Hallowed are the Ori.
We're wrong, they're right. They're good, we're bad. We must worship the Ori or die, and they will fight until we are dead or they are, period.
The final season of Stargate SG-1 should be a lot of fun, but of course tempered with the knowledge of all our first viewings of the season, with all its mysteries, cliffhangers, and unexpected twists and turns. Not to worry though, it's going to be a blast, and we want to share it as much as possible with every one of you who takes the time to listen to the Gatecast. Only 20 episodes of SG-1 to cover on the podcast, sans the two movies of course, so now is the time to get your voice heard. We would love to hear from you about the season as a whole or the individual episodes as we cover them, and the same goes for the third season of Atlantis. We do have some feedback for last week's episode Inferno. Not a lot, but grateful for every nugget one of the Stargate family sends our way. We'll begin with our Google Plus group. Mac McLeod posted, "I love this episode, made me laugh so hard." I replied, "Yeah, plenty of subtle and not so subtle humour, mostly at McKay's expense." Michael Brennick said, "I really miss Atlantis. Great combo of sci-fi, mystery and just enough comedy. Makes me sad to think about how it's gone, and we never seem to get shows like it anymore." I replied, "Sometimes they just seem to get the balance and chemistry right." Matthias Durbin simply put, "Yippity-doo." And I guess you can't argue with that. Over on our Facebook group, Brad Mull posted, and since we recorded with Brad a couple of days ago, he actually read it out for us. Take it away, Brad.
"Well, here it is, my favourite episode of season two. So many great McKay moments, and we find a honking warship. Daedalus beamed it out in the end. I would have been upset. And I'm assuming they checked hull integrity before jumping, and the poor Terranians get the short end of the stick every time we deal with them."
Pretty much sums up every alien race, doesn't it, really?
I gotta say, I was quite happy that Dave Hewlett responded to our tweet and even suggested a caption competition.
It's quite frightening, really. We had a brief exposure to what it's like to be a celebrity. People tweeting, and I looked at my update, you know, looked at, oh, 48, looked at him again. 60. Oh, Jesus Christ.
But it was a good shot and it was well chosen, so.
Thank you very much, Brad. Always a pleasure to have you on the show, and thank you for all the feedback you do send in. We have a few Stargate-related birthdays for the upcoming week. On the 29th, it's the birthday of Alex Punovich, and he played Rakai in the Atlantis episode Reunion, and Shikrell in the SG-1 episode Redemption 1 and 2. He's a very busy actor. Just have a look at his IMDb resume. And I've seen him recently in Arctic Air, Hell on Wheels and Psych. On June the 30th, Terry David Mulligan will be celebrating. He was David Swift, the Secretary of Defence in the SG-1 episode The Knox. And these days you can find him hosting the radio and podcast shows Mulligan's Chew and Tasting Room Radio. Alan Rook has his birthday, July the 1st. He was Dr. Fletcher in the Atlantis episode The Real World. And of course, Captain of the Enterprise B. And didn't he wish he had stayed on leave until Tuesday? We all know Alan better from his role on Spin City and the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Sharing this birthday is Joey Shea, daughter of Dan, and she, like her father, made a few appearances on screen in the SG-1 episodes Finity and Fragile Balance, as well as playing young Scully in an X-Files episode. Finally, on July the 2nd, Saul Rubinek will be celebrating his birthday.
Saul was the linchpin of the double episode Heroes and has had a long and distinguished acting career. Recently, he concluded his starring role on Warehouse 13, as well as taking guest spots on Person of Interest and Leverage. If you do want to get in touch with us, then here are the ways. We have a contact form on the gatecast.co.uk website, and our email address is gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. We are on Facebook and Google Plus under Gatecast. We are also on Twitter, @TheGatecast, which is one word. The podcast is also listed on iTunes and Stitcher Internet Radio, and we'd love to get some reviews and ratings for those services. I think that'll do for now, folks. Let's return to the show. That was Camelot. Next week, we are going to be doing a wrap-up show. I believe it will be the FG1 wrap-up show. No, I'm talking bollocks, because we're recording this out of order. Next week, we are going to do the Stargate Atlantis finale, Allies.
Season 2 finale?
Yes, season 2 finale.
Now, have the polls closed?
The polls have now closed.
Oh, did you vote, Thomas?
Yes, I did. I voted last time we recorded.
Yeah, I honestly can't recall what I voted for, but I definitely voted, because there have been one or two polls that I haven't.
Okay, then, that was Camelot. Thomas?
Yes?
You enjoyed the episode?
I did. It was a fun one. The ending of Season 9 and Season 10 are always interesting. I like the Arthurian myths a lot.
I've got to admit, yeah, I do as well. You know, even when they're not always... I suppose the point about mythology is that anybody can interpret it as they want. You know, something like the major Hollywood movie, Arthur. You know, that was very different. Was that? Oh, that British actor. Keira Knightley as well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Arthurian myths, Mike, let's face facts. It was a big freaking space battle.
Yeah.
That makes Mike happy. Yay, spaceship. Oh, well, for brief periods anyway.
Yeah. Right then. I say Thomas has done 3 episodes with us recently. He has already got his name down for some episodes next season. If anybody would like to join him, there's still plenty of open slots. Just have a look at G1 and Atlantis. And if there's an episode you'd like to do, get in touch. And if it's available, you're in. Thank you for joining us. And next week, Allies. Then after that, we're going to be doing the wrap-up shows and the results of the polls. Until then, I've been Mike.
I've been Alan.
And this is Thomas.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Gatecast, hosted by Alan and Mike. Join us at gatecast.co.uk. Stargate forever.